Welcome to the Naked Podcaster. I'm really excited because we've been trying to do this for like 8 months and we're here at 5 a.m. butt crack of dawn. I'm here with Shauna Armitage. Shauna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And Shauna has a 5-month-old. So if we hear some stuff in the background, that's just her taking care of her family, which is awesome. And I'm going to start out by saying we can find you at shaunaarmitage.com, which will be linked in the description. So I want to get started. Let's go back first at the stuff that was tough and then bring it forward. And I want to know, you know, the who, what, why, how you got through stuff and about the business and why that was launched and what you're doing.
Oh my gosh. There's so much tough stuff. But I mean, everybody has that, right?
Yes.
I think that, you know, my journey really started when I got out of college. I didn't go straight to teaching, was what I went to college for. And I was really afraid to take a teacher test. So I ended up waiting tables for a long time. I went back to school. I got a degree in professional writing. At that point, the economy had really crashed. And it was really hard to get a job. So I had 2 degrees. I had loans for 2 degrees. And I had just no job and no prospects, which was terrifying. And my life looked a little different at then because my husband and I got pregnant when I was 21. We were both 21. So while most people are kind of enjoying their first year out as an adult, you know, at bars and things like that, 6 months into it, I had gotten pregnant, and that just changed everything. So instead of having a wedding, we had a baby instead. And I had to wait tables, and just, you know, going back and getting a traditional job was harder because I didn't have anything set up in place. I had to be home to take care of the baby. So I started freelancing on the side, and that really led to more opportunities. You know, I've always been a good writer. I've always really enjoyed writing. And I started working for this marketing company, this online marketing company. And they hired me as their director of digital content. And I realized at that point that all this writing, all this stuff that I was doing was actually marketing. And I had never realized that before. So I learned more and more about marketing. And that just seemed to be a really happy place for me. So I was in different positions, you know, from that point on. And in 2017, I actually left my very nice, cushy, stable job as an SEO coach to work with a friend of mine at a digital agency that he had just started. I thought this was my dream job. I was so excited about it. And things were great at first. A couple of months in, he started hiring people that we didn't really need from his church. He would make friends and he would start hiring them. And then he wasn't really interested. The more men he was like putting on the team, he wasn't really interested in hearing from me anymore. And that was a hard pill to swallow because we had been close and was really personally invested in the growth of his company. And then, you know, it went from just hiring people that we didn't need to working on projects that we didn't need to do. And I would be hearing from the clients, you know, this isn't getting done, or we're not seeing results, or this isn't happening. And when I tried to talk to him about these problems, he didn't want to hear it. It wasn't my problem. And I didn't back down. And about 6 months after he hired me, he fired me. And I had never been fired from a job before. It was mortifying. And not only did he fire me, he fired me 3 weeks before my husband left for the Middle East for a 6-month deployment. My husband's in the Air Force. So here I am. My husband's about to leave. I've got 3 kids at home and I have no idea what I'm going to do. I thought about getting my traditional job, but my resume, you know, bouncing around from freelance gig to freelance gig doesn't really support that. You know, people don't really like to see that kind of stuff on a resume when they're hiring for a full-time position. And what I ended up doing was just like, no, I love this marketing stuff. I'm good at it. And I think if I just treat people right, that they'll stick with me, that they'll be good to me. So I started my own business, and I was really lucky because within the first month, one of the clients, I didn't have a non-compete because I thought I was going to be working with this guy forever. And one of the clients had come over and left his company and started working with me. So I was incredibly lucky that I got my first client basically within my first 30 days of starting up. And
so I want to go back for just a second.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the wedding?
Did I ever have what?
The wedding?
Not sort of. I mean, we did get married. I always tell this funny story about when we got together because I lived in Maine and my husband was in Massachusetts and we knew each other from college, but we were like friendly, not friends. And he messaged me on Facebook one day. I had moved home from college and he's like, "Hey, my cousin's having a wedding in Maine and you're the only person I know in Maine. You want to come with me?" And I was like, "Sure." So we had so much fun at that wedding and it was like our first time that we actually like hanging out outside of work. And we really vibed and we've been together ever since. So he moved in to my place a month after that wedding. 6 months later, we were engaged. 7 months later, we were pregnant. And then at that point, at that point, we were like, we can't afford to have a wedding. Like, babies cost money. So anything that we had saved up for the wedding just kind of went out the window. But you still have to have a ceremony in Maine, apparently. So the year before, I got this little black dress when I was in Italy. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to fit into this again. So I wore a little black dress. And we, in Maine, where I live, I was right on the Saco River. And there's this beautiful cemetery where a lot of people get married that overlooks the water. So we had a little ceremony there with, like, just our parents and his sister. And then we went out to eat with some friends. That was our wedding. But I always joke that we got married, you know, me in a little black dress in the cemetery. That's how we started our life together.
Pregnant.
Yeah, pregnant.
I mean, you don't need to do it the traditional way. So was he in the Air Force from the very beginning?
He wasn't. He was actually kind of an old man compared to everybody else when he got in. A lot of people go in right after high school, or they get a degree and then they go in as an officer. But we were having a really hard time. He was working at Walmart. He was waiting tables. I was staying home with the baby and then waiting tables at night. We didn't see each other. We didn't really love the life we were living, you know, that way. We had to live with family to survive. So when my son was about a year and a half old, he's like, "I really thought about doing the military. I really thought about the Air Force when I was in high school. I think I'm going to check it out." And I was like, "All right, knock yourself out." And it took a few years. It was after my son's third birthday when he went to basic training. But he had just turned 25 when he went to basic training. So he was at training with, like, you know, these 18, 19-year-old kids. So at 25, he was basically the old man there. But we've had a really interesting experience because we were out in the real world. We were doing, you know, some of these tough jobs. I was waiting tables and cleaning toilets at that point. And then our life really, really changed when he went into the Air Force. We had to move away from friends and family. His schedule changed, and my ability to work changed because not only did we move away, but in the military, you move every couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to do a professional position when you move every couple of years because they want commitment. You know, it costs them money to have to retrain somebody to do that position. So that's kind of when I got into the gig economy and started picking up things. I worked on Elance. It's Upwork now, but it was Elance back in the day.
So you had, how many kids were born when he joined the military 3 years into your relationship?
Only one. We actually waited a long time to have our second child because the military can actually deny you if you've got too many dependents. So even if we got pregnant after he had already signed the contract, they could have been like, well, you signed this contract when you only had the wife and the one baby, so we're not going to take you anymore. And, you know, we knew that this was kind of going to be a game changer for us. So we just weren't interested in messing that up in any way, you know?
Right. So the military was the first big change. Bless you. and then moving around, because you guys had never lived outside of the East Coast.
That's correct.
And then you're right. See, I was military dependent for a few years like you are. I didn't mind them moving and stuff. And I only had one child at the time. I wasn't pregnant when he went in. But it was this, it was a similar situation. And like, I wanted to finish my degree back then. And it was almost, women in the military as dependents who get their degree in less than like 15 years, it's astounding. You can't, your stuff doesn't transfer and you lose credits and you're constantly starting back over. And so I totally get it. You can't be in this perfect corporate job or it's really, really difficult. With education, you would have had to get licensed in every single state you went to.
Correct? Yeah, absolutely.
The military is one of my favorite things. I'm 48 and I would join now if they took me, but
yeah,
you can't do a lot of things traditionally. You really have to think out of the box. So you were kind of already doing that. I also had little kids and waited tables and cleaned houses. So we have a few similarities here.
We do, for sure.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I wanted to spend more time, especially when my first one was little, and cleaning houses and working at restaurants and being a nanny, I could have her with me for most of the time. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
It made it so much easier. You don't make that much money, but you have a better schedule to work around. So, so you waited and you were kind of, it sounds to me like you were kind of already by default accidentally set up for freelancing and having your own business. You just didn't know it.
I was on the time getting a job and we were at a family function one time and my husband's cousin's wife actually suggested to me, like, a lot of people do virtual assisting online. Why don't you try it out? So I looked into it. I got my first gig within 2 weeks and it didn't pay well. It wasn't a lot of hours. So I realized that I could stack a couple of these positions and I could do okay money-wise. I could do it, you know, whenever I wanted. And I think a combination of my husband going into the military and us having to move and the fact that I wasn't landing any interviews, although I had two really decent degrees, that was kind of the rise of the gig economy, you know, at that point in time around 2010, 2011. So when that happened, that for me, it was the perfect storm. It really kind of pushed me into doing freelance work when being a freelancer and not having stable income was like never in my plan.
Right. So you had the teaching degree and the writing degree. Marketing, was that a happy accident too? Because I can see how that would segue in pretty well.
It was a happy accident because I started working for this guy for a digital agency, you know, a marketing agency. He needed someone to write. And I'm a pretty good writer and I write very fast. So people were really excited to give me like a set amount instead of an hourly because I could bang out, you know, two or three articles in an hour, depending on the topic and, you know, what part of the research was already done, things like that. So he really, really liked my writing. I started becoming in charge of all this content. And one of his things was like, if I'm going to pay you, you need to know about marketing. So I did the free inbound marketing training with HubSpot. Okay. And it's actually a lot to do. I think I failed it first time, maybe the second time. It took me 2 or 3 times to pass it because I'm not a good test taker. And I swear, HubSpot's out to trick you. Like, those questions aren't always intuitive. So I took that, and then I was like, yeah, this makes sense, and I can do this. And so it all really started to click. And then I didn't move away from the writing, but I realized that there's so much more. And the writing that I was doing kind of played into this bigger picture of what attracts consumers to brands and, you know, what helps brands actually grow.
You know, I think marketing, as a person who has my own business, marketing and branding are two dirty names. And
yeah,
because they're scary and you don't know and you don't feel like you can do everything and you're excited about the business, whatever that is, that the marketing and branding, that's very peripheral, and you can know that it's important and not have any idea what to do, which makes you feel dumb and nobody wants to. And branding seems so much like the colors and the font, and it's far more about the language that you use. And, you know, I personally don't think anybody can very easily write the content on their website themselves. It's an outside perspective that writes it, because it's not just third person. It's very outside perspective. Yeah. So
I think it's brilliant that you say that. I think so many small business owners undervalue marketing.
I think all business owners undervalue marketing. And the problem with that is that that's the growth. You can have pretty colors, but if your language is terrible and confusing, or it puts people off, and you're not, and you're the best at what you do, but nobody knows, it doesn't matter that you're the best that ever was. People have to know. So you slid into marketing more than writing. Do you still do both though?
I still do some writing for my clients, but it really depends. So when I started my business, I felt like there was this gap. You've got marketing consultants who consult businesses, maybe create a marketing plan or a marketing strategy for them, but they don't execute on it. So they have like this wealth of information and they kind of like dump it on the business owner. Business owner's excited, but then when they step out and try to do it on their own, they're like, holy shit, I have no idea what any of this actually means or how I'm going to do it. And then you have the agencies, which they just burn through clients. You know, they've got some good results that they can put forward that really sells people on working with them. But ultimately, they're into making money for themselves. They're not trying to make money for your company. And that's my experience when I worked for my friend, actually, is that it was just, well, you know, I don't care if they're not happy with that. We'll just sign another client. And that broke my heart, because these small business owners or even startup founders, they're investing a lot of their own money. They're investing a lot of time into making this business work. So the idea that, you know, it just doesn't matter if they're getting results, or it just doesn't matter if we're going too slow on getting the website up because we'll just get another client, it matters a lot to them because they have very limited resources to make a go of this. So if they don't get it right the first time, they may be in a lot of trouble. And I really wanted to work in a way that, first of all, that I felt was that had integrity, because I don't think that everybody does that and it bothers me. But also, I wanted to have a more intimate relationship where I could be a partner for these businesses instead of just somebody who executes, you know, certain tasks for them. And to me, you know, you'd have to ask my clients, but to me, I think that makes all the difference, because they feel like they don't just hire me as a contractor. They feel like I'm actually on their team. And I work on everything from their marketing to their business development, and just having that strong relationship, it means everything to them when they're in that stage where they're really trying to make a go of it with their business.
I think we've been so inundated. First of all, when all of the ads started happening on social media, I mean, if I get one more email a week from Facebook about how great my post is doing. You know, you can do a lot. You can do everything with the right kind. You can put your money in the right ways and make a big difference. And I don't feel personally that those are necessarily the right ways. But we're so inundated with pay here to grow, you know, and everybody's now a coach that didn't know what they were doing for 2 years and felt lost and confused and then had a moment on the beach and then epiphany and now they're awesome. And I'm not saying that those people aren't awesome, but a lot of them are not. And it's so hard to swim in this sea of inundation of people who can help you when the majority of them don't know what they're doing, can't help you, and don't have your best interests at heart. And to stand, to rise above that, you know, you've used the word integrity several times, but I feel like you actually put yourself in their shoes. Like you feel for these people.
Yeah.
You know, you're very, very on board. And a lot of people aren't. There's a lot of stuff out there that's not like that. So it's always refreshing when you find someone who really wants them. And I've been on your website, which is awesome.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's really good. Are you on
the new one? Are you on the ShaunaArmitage.com one?
Yes, I am.
That's pretty new. So it's exciting to hear you say that because it's much different than what I had been doing when I started the business last year.
Well, it's very happy and it's very easy to navigate. So like, I love breaking down websites. I love floating pictures and that's some of the colors and stuff that aren't absolutely necessary. But what I like is you really talk about what drives you and what your story is and who people can talk to get information. Cause you can say you're awesome every single day, all day. But if some people don't hear it from your clients, you know, it's better from the clients and you have a lot of that. So I love testimonials because if I'm hiring somebody, I'll actually pay them and your services and you actually talk cost. Now, I want to address that because that is one of the most difficult things I think for small business owners and you're a small business owner helping other business owners. I mean, you have focused on the people that are startups. You're not looking for, I was just going to say Coca-Cola because you said you're a lover of Coca-Cola. So I know that that's where that
came. I'm obsessed with Coca-Cola.
But you're not looking for huge corporate clients. You are focusing on small startups with little money and no idea what to do. And although you know what to do, you're a small business owner also. So it's got to resonate with you.
There's when I started, I never, you know, some people are like, I was an entrepreneur since I was 11 and selling lemonade and, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I just wanted somebody to give me a paycheck and do something that I thought was fun. So when I went out and did this entrepreneur thing, I was clueless. I had no idea how to be a business owner. I had no idea what that meant. And I had a lot to learn. I've had issues with accountants. I had my business not structured properly. So I actually had to have an accountant who's fixing that for me right now. One big thing, you know, and I'm going to let you in on this little secret, is that my probably first year in business, I flopped around everywhere. And that's why you see the new website. I knew the marketing part, but I didn't know the business part. And one thing is that I knew who I wanted to serve, but I didn't know who I actually should be serving. So I really tried to serve female entrepreneurs in the beginning because I was just so passionate about the experience that I was having. I wanted to pay it forward. I wanted to help people in that way. But it just didn't click. I don't know if there's just too many gurus out there or business coaches out there, but I was making no progress. And I ended up having two businesses find me. One came to me from a co-working space I was working at. And funny enough, one of them had been working with my old boss and they remembered seeing me And they're like, you know, you seem pretty cool. You seemed like you knew what you were doing. Can we talk? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I got really lucky. These two clients literally fell into my lap. And that they're both startups. They're both early stage startups that have some funding, not enough to actually hire a marketing person full time. And then I just had this aha moment, like, this is who needs me. So instead of going after other female entrepreneurs, instead of trying to, you know, build this online presence where I can, you know, do marketing with female business owners, I'm going to focus on startups. If I get to work with female founders, that's just an extra bonus because there are not a lot of female founders out there. But it took over a year of going to networking events and trying different things on social media and, you know, all this garbage before I actually found, you know, my sweet spot.
I think that's so common. And I mean, I think when you're a new business and you really want to help other new businesses and you're really trying, it does take a while and we're not good at everything. I mean, I need my CPA. Oh my God. I would like, I can't do her job, but she's her own business. And I accidentally heard about her 15 years ago and she happens to be a woman who's a single mom who works from her house, who is an incredible CPA and I love her and, you know, but God, what would I do without? You can't be everything in your business. And that's what you're saying to people who are startups and need marketing. You know, my CPA is saying that. Yeah.
I think startup founders actually realize that more than the regular small business owner does. Because startup culture, you know, if you want to get funding, they want to see your team. They don't want to see that you took X, Y, and Z courses on marketing and you're trying to lead development and do the marketing, you know, and run the company operations all on your own. They want to see that you have a strong team and that you have people who have different skill sets actually owning the different parts of your business. Right. Or a small business owner, anytime I've had a consult with a small business owner, they're like, wow, I love you. I love what you do, but I can't afford it. And that's just kind of the mindset. Like, I'm going to have to figure out how to do this myself. I'm going to have to take the course. I'm going to have to try to figure it out myself. And that's fine. You know, I never want someone investing money in me that they truly don't have, but it's just a different mindset where the startup founder is like, I absolutely need your skill. And the small business owner is like, well, I can probably figure out how to do this on my own.
Yeah. They, and if they can, that's great. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I'm a chronic do-it-yourselfer. But I like to take courses to learn that I can't do it myself, but I have a better understanding of it. Like, I'm really not good at branding, but I understand branding inside and out. Marketing to, like, I know, and I know that because I took a course thinking I could do it myself. So I think sometimes some of us need that to realize that we get it and we don't know how to do it. And that's okay. But you're right. There are different mentalities and people want to save money everywhere they can. And I get that too. Now,
I
want to talk about your, on your services page, you list how much you charge. Not everybody does that. It's like, please do the consultation, because if you can just hook them into the consultation and you give 30 minutes of your time, you have a 60% conversion rate, whatever the formula is. And I know a lot of the time when you're on a consult with somebody and you like them and you understand it, you do want to spend the money more. And you just, but I don't like that. I don't like that because it makes me uncomfortable. Now I like you and I have to tell you I'm broke. But you list your prices, which is exceptional. I think especially women don't list their prices. They're afraid to, like, I don't want to put it out there. Maybe it's too much. Maybe you do it. So tell me how you got through that, or if that was difficult for you, maybe it wasn't.
I think that there are some good reasons to list your prices. I also think there's some good reasons not to list your prices. I've kind of experienced exactly what you just talked about, where you're really excited about working with somebody and you had that conversation and then, you know, you're like, okay, I do want to do this. And then they tell you what the financial investment is going to be. And you're like, I can't mortgage my house this month. Like, I got four kids to feed. Like, so some people, you know, and I saw this one particular woman who I actually really love. And, you know, one thing I've heard her say is that if she wanted to invest in something, she found a way to do it. And a lot of people will be like, open up a credit card or take out a small loan. And, you know, from my mentality, I'm not that far ahead in life yet where it's a smart decision to take out an investment like that for, you know, a business coach. Because maybe they're awesome, but there's a lot that, aren't. Or maybe we start working together and we don't really buy. So I just, I like to treat other people the way that I like to be treated. So if people take a look at my pricing and they're like, nope, then it's best that we don't get on the phone call. And either way, because we're both busy people and it doesn't pay to waste anybody's time like that. And I don't like being salesperson. I don't like trying to have to convince you that you need me, because the truth is you don't. There's other people out there who do what I do. And what I've found is that a lot of small business owners, they get totally freaked out by my pricing. But when I talk to these startup founders, they're like, oh, that's totally reasonable. So I don't want to fight for the small business owner who is like, oh my God, that's scary. When, you know, when I'm in front of the person who's right for my company, the person that's right for me to work with, they don't blink an eye at my pricing.
Exactly. No, I love it. I think it's fantastic. Tell me, and you're right, because if I looked at it and I was like, oh, I could actually figure that out. And I think people figure out a lot more than they realize if it's a priority.
Yeah.
You're right. People will figure it out. I think there's a limit to that, but you are 100% accurate. Yeah, there is definitely a limit to that. But I love that you put it out there, because you're right. If I'm a new business owner and I really know I need marketing and I look and I can't do it yet, but also if I love what you do, I can reach out and say, hey, what you have doesn't fit. Can we talk about maybe something else? And it would open up a completely different discussion that would actually probably be mutually beneficial instead of, you're right, wasting your time. So
yeah, that's why I offer the consulting options, because my like highest tier, my monthly retainer is just not affordable for small business owners. So I've got consulting options where we can work together on, you know, a smaller basis, but you're absolutely right. It's got to be a good fit for everyone. That's honestly why I don't do monthly contracts, which I was talking to a potential client one day and they were just blown away by that. So listen, I'm not here to trap you. I don't want your money for 6 months if by month three you don't feel good about our work together. And that makes it really easy for people to get started with me, because if they're done after 30 days, they're done. But I've never had anybody work with me for 30 days and then quit. So just not forcing people into it on track has actually been a really good decision for me and for my business.
I think it's awesome. So you've had several, you've pretty much, once you inadvertently fell into marketing, you pretty much have stayed there. So I know you said you were all over the place initially. I get that in business and trying to figure out who your target market is and what's the best way to present yourself. I think most of us struggle with that. But what other, because your website has changed.
So it has.
What's changed with that? Because I haven't been on your initial website.
So when I first started, the website was makingmoxie.com. And that's still up, but it's actually going to be redirecting to shaunaarmitage.com soon. So when I first started, I didn't know how I felt about going out under my own name. I felt like I needed to have a brand. I needed to have a company. And that's kind of what I shot for. And it all made sense to me at the time. And I didn't want to just have another marketing blog. Like, everybody's got a marketing blog. it's so saturated out there. So I wanted to talk about something that was important to me. So I started writing a little bit about marketing, a lot about female entrepreneurship. I had managed the editorial for the company that I worked with before. So I had some contributors who still wanted to work with me and wrote for my new blog. And that was a great experience. But it got to the point where the female entrepreneur stuff, again, as much as I was really passionate about it, it just wasn't clicking. I wasn't attracting people. I wasn't selling, any of my consulting. I wasn't selling any of my big packages. And, this year I hired a creative lead and, she's like, you do market research for your clients all the time. Reach out to your clients, reach out to your audience and figure out what's missing. And overwhelmingly, they said, I didn't even know Making Moxie was a thing. You know, like somehow I got connected to you or somehow I had heard about you and I wanted to work with you. And that was kind of the point where I was like, wow, I'm hiding behind this brand name. People actually value me and what I bring to the table. So it was a really hard decision because Making Moxie has such cool connotations. And a lot of people do really like the brand name, but ultimately, I am my business. I'm my skill set. And that's what people really value about what I bring to the table. So I decided to kind of come out from that cover and really make the switch to owning it that, I am the face of my company.
So you had a team with Making Moxie. Do you still have the same team now or how did that?
I didn't ever have a team actually. I had contributors. So I had a bunch of women who contributed to the blog. I had freelancers here and there for maybe a design project or whatever needed to be done. But I was definitely a one woman show. Now that I'm Shauna Armitage, now that I'm myself, I actually do have a team. I have two girls who work for me part-time. Like I said, one of them is my creative lead. And one of them is my content lead. And they're just fantastic. And that was a huge step for me in my business because I wanted to make sure that I was generating enough revenue before I hired someone. But hiring people has been really helpful in taking a lot of things off my plate and helping me move forward at a really strong pace. And I thought I could do a lot of it on my own and a lot of it I could, but there was just kind of a point in my growth where it didn't make sense to do it all on my own anymore.
Yeah, I get that. And because you get that, you understand it from your client's perspective too.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who are at the point where they really need help, but affording it is hard or letting go of things is hard. And that transition is kind of awkward in the beginning. And exactly. I mean, I've been a virtual assistant for years and I do it online from my house and people still have trouble letting go of it. I'm not taking over anything. I'm just helping to reduce the load a little bit, taking care of that. Mm-hmm. All the little extra stuff. So I understand it from both perspectives, just like you do. So you've been with the same guy for over 10 years now and 4 kids later. So yeah. I want to update that. Is it still as much fun?
Is it what?
Is it still as much fun?
It is as much fun. It's just different, the beginning of the relationship, it was fast. It was a whirlwind. And, the beginning of the relationship is always very exciting. And we have this interesting thing where we were together for about a year before our son was born. We were together for only, 7-8 months before I got pregnant. So kids having a child around has always been a part of our dynamic. So we'll have to see if we still like each other. We still have anything to say to each other when they're out of the house. But we actually went on a short weekend trip for our anniversary. We went snowmobiling and did some hot springs. And it was so much fun to be able to do things together. And I think ultimately we just really like each other and enjoy each other as people. So, you know, no matter how much time goes by in our relationship, the fact that we're still friends is what is always going to keep, you know, our relationship healthy being strong.
I love that. I want to do the update because I knew it had been more than 10 years. So, I mean, that's a success separately. Is he still military?
He is. I think that he's going to be military for forever until they make him retire.
That's awesome. And moving now is a lot easier for you because your community, a lot of it is online.
It's a lot easier in terms of my job, you know, because I don't have to look for a new job where I go. I wouldn't say moving is easy. We have a zoo. We've got 2 dogs. We've got 4 kids. When we first moved, we didn't have furniture. We didn't have a couch. So moving was not that hard. Now we're, you know, more established as a family with our growing brood, and everybody's got, you know, a dresser and a bed and all that stuff. So I'm dreading the physical part of moving next time. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. We're in Colorado now, and I love it. Colorado's awesome, but I'm a traveler at heart, and I'm really looking forward to the next adventure.
Right. I loved it. You know what? I didn't like everywhere we lived in the military, but I wouldn't have known if I had never gone and tried, and I probably would have never tried if I had been in the military. Yeah. I mean, it was so much fun. That, bless you. It was so much. It was really, if you have an adventurous spirit, it was really fun to go places for a couple of years and find out, no, this is not where I want to stay, but I'm really getting the experience. So, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's a couple of years. If you don't like it, then you get to move on. You're not stuck.
And you know that you don't like it. I mean, I would have never known what the South was like if I hadn't lived in 2 different places in the South. And that I am a damn Yankee at heart. And so the South probably, they don't like me equally as much as I was uncomfortable there. But there were so many great memories. Even though I'm like, I would never live back there again. I have awesome memories of it. It wasn't like this big, horrible, terrible, I cried myself to sleep every single day. It was just not probably the best fit for me. But yeah, I loved that I got to know that. So yeah, I love that attitude. Now, I would like to end on you giving those new business owners and startups some advice or things that will make their life a little bit easier. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that I would say is there's a lot that you don't know that you don't know. And you can't find solutions to problems that you don't know exist. So find a mentor, you know, whether it's LinkedIn, maybe somebody you had worked with previously. You know, if you're new to business, figure out what needs to be done in your business. Talk to an accountant or a CPA. If you can't hire somebody for marketing, at least pay for a consult so you can learn a little bit about the strategies that you need to do. You know, invest in your success early on, even if it's just in these small ways, because you much rather figure out that stuff in the beginning, the best that you can, than be in business for a while and then feel like it's not working and not really know why. So I think that that's really important. And especially if you're going to work from home, go to a co-working space or have a day out where you meet friends for drinks, because, you know, and I can say this unequivocally with 4 kids, I love my babies, but sometimes I just need to be around adults, and I don't get that working at home.
Amen to that. Oh my gosh. I get that too. We're at spring break right now and I work from home, and I don't want to feel like, you don't want to feel as a business owner that you can't wait till spring break ends so your kids go back to school so you can have CNN. You don't want to feel that way. That sucks. It sucks.
Right.
Like, I love the kids. I want them around. So finding, I think, do you think it's finding that balance and loving every place that you're in equally, but having some
separation?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You have to have that separation, and you have to know when to hustle, and you have to know when to give yourself some space. And I think for us as parents, that's more important than ever, because I've seen people who are like, you know, they work 80 hours a week on their business and they wear that as like a badge of honor that they haven't slept in a year. Like, no, that's not a good thing. That means that you're not doing things well. Like,
exactly.
If you're doing things efficiently, if you're doing the right things, then you shouldn't have to put in that much time. You know,
right.
You should be able to work a regular work week and still have time for the important things in life.
Amen. Okay, we're going to end there. Thank you so much, Shauna.
Thanks for having me.
That will succeed in those ones that, well, they may succeed, but it's going to take them a lot longer because they're too, there's too many excuses. They're not taking responsibility.
Exactly. So you went to the attorneys, you decided that the job ended. Were you were that incident is what really launched you? Because I was thinking we were going to have like a conversation about postpartum depression, but that's mm-hmm. not what this was at all.
Mm-mm. No, mm-mm. No postpartum depression.
That's amazing. I mean, that's fantastic. I made an assumption when I read your information that that's what it was. So this is, it's great. You got through all of that. And then it was just the work, because it can come from anywhere at any time, like you said. And so it's exceptional that you got through working full-time for years and running this business and having kids. And thank God you guys could just fuck like rabbits and have your baby.
Well, I mean, Chloe, what we didn't talk about, Chloe was IVF. And so we had 13 eggs at time of, pickup. By the time she got to the scientist, we were down to 11, which was only one floor up. And on the day of transfer, we only had Chloe's embryo. That was it.
Holy cow.
So I didn't really talk about how Chloe came, but yeah, Chloe was an IVF baby. And there's a test here in Australia that they didn't have when we were going through all that stuff with Finley, called an IMH test, where they test your egg quality. And what they found is even though I release an egg every month, the egg is actually a dead egg. And so if you've got 12 eggs, one every month that's released, I may only have two good eggs. So I may have just had a really good egg that released with Finley, but because everything else was normal cycle, normal progesterone, normal everything else, as they decided to run this test as a cautionary, I got called back into the office and they pretty much said the likelihood of you falling pregnant now that you're even a few years older is very minimal because of your egg quality and your egg reserve. So yeah, so we only had one embryo and we had Chloe. And then I think week six, we had significant bleeding to where then I was put on bed rest and given Xanax for 3 weeks because to release the body's tension. And luckily enough, you know, we were successful with having her. But yeah, so that was also, you know, being quite of a stressful time to keep her.
Wow. Holy cow. I don't know. We all have the same hours in the day, and I think I'm pretty great at utilizing my hours well, but you completely blow me out of the water in what you're able to do. I'm glad that you did say early on in this conversation that you wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everyone.
No, I wouldn't. I think, again, you have to know your boundaries. And I guess because my personality is again, I could have chosen to sit on my couch and binge watch Netflix every night. I could have, that would have been my choice. But because I love what I do in both businesses, I choose to plod along by writing a blog article or working on my next launch or whatever. Like, I'm always trying to look at how can I keep doing what I love without it being a detriment to my family? So, you know, this past weekend, we've just been in Vietnam. We've just come back. We had one more week of school holidays and I really needed Friday to work. But the reality of it is Finley had 4 games of basketball. Dale works in a regular 9-to-5 job, couldn't take it off. So they're looking at me to take that day off. And, you know, I was a little bit annoyed at the beginning, but then I was like, well, hold on a minute. I actually years ago wished to be in this position, right? To be able to just take it off and it doesn't impact our income. It doesn't, just because I want to be in the office to work on other things. And that's why I choose to do things at night, is that I can go to their school plays. I can go volunteer in their classrooms. But then I choose at night not to watch Netflix. Again, it's totally okay to watch Netflix. I do too. But again, those are the choices. And we all have the same amount of hours in the day. Yes. But I would say, since working with different businesses, predominantly those who are mothers, being a business owner with no husband, no partner, and just yourself is very different to being in business with a partner and then add kids on top. So our 24 hours, yes, we have the same, but I think our 24 hours are very different. So for a mom, some clients of mine, they can just wake up, they can go to Pilates, they can get green smoothies, they can go do whatever they want, and they're sitting at their desk by 8 o'clock. Most moms are still making school lunches, doing pickup and drop off, haven't showered their hair. Like, again, this is a generalization. Not all moms are like this, but, you know, they're still doing that mom duty by 8:30 and 9. So then they come home, and again, that's their choice. But by the time they get home, they're walking in the door and it's 10 a.m., right? So I do think that, yes, we have the same physical time, but again, how our brain and what's working in our brain and other people's responsibilities and what is on our shoulders, again, by our choice for being a parent, yes, but it's much harder, do you know what I mean, by trying to do the juggle of chauffeur, cook, cleaner. You know, and you would know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I look at the hours in my day. I schedule if I'm exercising, everything. Everything is scheduled.
Because it has to make, you have got to make it that priority, right?
Right. And okay, this is the time that I can carve out these things. And this is the time I can carve out these things. And no, the dog's not going to get walked every single day, but I'm going to try, you know? So yeah, I think also you get better. I know some people are much more artistic than I am. I'm more structured, and it's something that I'm very thankful for, because you do kind of, it's very important to get more done to be able to structure your time really well. I know if you're a night person or a morning person, or, I mean, my youngest knows in the morning, no matter what time she wakes up, she can wake up at 6. I am working till 7:30, and from 7:30 to 9 is for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can wake up early. You can get yourself breakfast. You can do whatever you want in the morning until 7:30. I am off the clock until then. Yep. And you do have to set it up very, very specifically. But I mean, like you said, regardless, there are excuses and there are choices, and we all do have the same time, but we definitely have to figure out how to work that.
You manage it.
You're phenomenal at it. So when you left, walked away from the job. Well, it was mutual. I mean, I understand they were tired.
Yeah, ill-retired, yes.
I couldn't quite remember.
Yeah, ill-retired.
So ill-retired. The business has already started. When did you decide to relax on Finley and Me and really go more into that? And was there a lot of stress with that, or was that partially a relief?
Listen, the relief was that, yes, I no longer had the Queensland Health, but the anxiety and depression was still so dominant in my life, right? So it was like I had one thing off. But then in Australia, how do I explain it? I wasn't drawing down a wage on Angela Henderson or Finley and Me. It was going to my VAs or whatever. So, and that's how it was. And, or like the travel to conferences, whatever. And so I was on a thing called, like, we have income protection. So I was still getting my income protection from my primary job, do you know what I mean? Because of my depression and anxiety. So, you know, rightfully so, I still needed to see psychologists post being ill retired. I still needed to see the psychiatrist. I still needed to do the medication run. Like, there was still, my calendar was still full of everything else that was just medical related. That's why I outsourced an enormous amount, you know, so my Facebook posts were getting scheduled. Whatever, I still would go in and do a live, because for me, with my minimal brain capacity, I guess at that stage, it was easier for me just to go in and there and do a live than to try to write the words on paper, etc. I still knew that, again, I would keep the podcast going, but that was, again, to keep me motivated and to keep me out of that lull of the depression. So that still went on, like I said, for the last, up until 8 months ago, really. And then I kind of like doubled down. So though I still took clients on board, yes, and I still had the podcast in the background, we were definitely already starting to pull back on Finley and Me, because Finley and Me served its purpose when my kids were younger, about creating those childhood memories through play, love, and travel. But obviously, as they got older, the different toys they played with, you know, et cetera, changed. And, you know, e-commerce is a very difficult market too. Your overheads are a lot more than a service-based business. You know, you've got to take off pretty much 50% of a sale right from the beginning just to pay for the cost of your products, unless they're your own products that you've made. You then have to do SEO for each of your products, theoretically, if you're doing it well. So then you've got to pay someone to do that. You got to pay for it. Like, there's an enormous amount of cost. Whereas with a service-based business, I mean, like you said, you technically could have your computer check, some electricity check, you know, those type of things are quite simple, and you can run that from anywhere without even doing Facebook ads or anything. So for me, it was just really assessing about how much time did I want to put back into Finley and Me. Was I in love and was I passionate about it like I was when I first started it? No. And so, and again, my business consulting stuff was a lot more lucrative with a lot less work that had to go. I didn't have to go to trade fairs. I didn't have to pay for this, that, and the other. So for me, the decision was, let's kind of sell it the rest of the products. We gave a lot of our products away to charity at Christmas last year. But let's keep the site up and let's keep our socials going, because we've got a very active community, about 70,000 over there. It's also good for any of my clients who are kid-related businesses. I let them do free promo over on the page and things like that. So we do keep that going. Also, it adds credibility and authority to me as a coach to say that I had a business for 9 years in e-commerce. So that's Finley and me. We started a pullback on that.
I love it, though. I love how you worked it out in your mind. And one of the first things you asked was, were you still in love and passionate about it like you were in the beginning? Because that's really important. It could have been more lucrative. It could have been bringing in more money even, or been the one that was less work. But if you hadn't been passionate about it, that would have been a really big deciding factor. Mm-hmm. So with consulting, tell me what you would discuss with business owners, like give me some tips and tricks for these moms who are either wanting to or starting in that 1 to 3 years and they're really struggling, other than the tip you already got, which is huge, which is choices and excuses.
Yep. Choice and accountability, I think is important.
Who's your mom? Who are your people?
Who are my people? My people, again, ideally my ideal client is a mom, probably, early 40s, 41, couple of kids who haven't quite hit teenage year yet. Also really has either left. So there's kind of my top tier lady already has her own business. So my ideal client, so she's already got her side hustle going. She knows she needs to step it up in order to make it lucrative, because her partner's kind of going like, hey, you got to really make this start to work, or else you got to go back to the 9 to 5. And then my secondary kind of client is the one that's sitting there like in corporate, banging her head against the wall going, oh my gosh, there's got to be something better out there in life than coming in here. Almost like I now look at my government job as a mini cult. They tell you when to eat lunch. They tell you when to check in. They tell you when to leave. They tell you how to think. They tell you to do all that. And so now that I've been out of that, I'm like, oh my goodness, how did I allow, like, and that's really why, again, I was quite vocal, which means I got myself into trouble at times, you know, like sticking up for people. But most people just kind of are yes people at work, right? Where I'm kind of like, no, man, there's other things. So to me, it's like, that's the second mom, you know what I mean? So she's probably got a couple younger kids who are more probably like 3 and 5, 6 and 4 type thing. But she's going, no, I need out. There's got to be another outlet, and is wanting to start either, like, I hate using the word hustle, but a side gig. All right. But again, moms that I like to work with specifically around my ideal client is that they're motivated. They understand choice. They understand responsibility. They're willing to invest in themselves, and that they understand the importance of surrounding themselves with like-minded people, connected people, because you can't do this alone in business. So that's kind of who I look to for when I'm working either in my one-to-one capacity or in my coaching program, Profit Pillars. So yeah.
Can people get onto your Facebook group without, is it a membership only, or do they have
people? Oh, no. So our free Facebook group, which is Australian Business Collaborative, and we have people all around the world join. Anyone can join. That's a free group. It's my paid group that once you pay to be either one-to-one coaching or in the group coaching program, then I've got a separate group just for paid members also. But the free Australian Business Collaborative group, anyone can join. And again, I do, you know, lives in there all the time. Like we just talked about defamation and some of the changes here in Australia, is there's a big landmark case that's just come up with people who run a business page under our business group, is that you're responsible for any defamation that happens on your page. So a person, like it could be my page on Australian Business Collaborative, someone could have been talking about a business, they screenshot it, and that case is just one, a big case here in New South Wales, the state of New South Wales. So again, I went in there reminding business owners about, you know, defamation and about responsibility for your pages. We talk about like a variety of things. There's about 5,500 members in there, and we just are asking questions. It's not just about business though. It's just about life. So we talk about depression. We talk about anxiety. We talk about the loneliness of being in business. I try to keep it, again, as cliched as it is, a bit real, because other business owners are just about promoting themselves. It's a very spam free. You can promote one day a week. Even I don't promote that often, because to me, community is primary. If you don't have community, something like network equals your net worth. If you don't have a network, your business will ultimately, do you know what I mean, be very slow at gaining momentum.
I love everything that you've shared and how honest you are and just your personality. I want as many people to look into your information as possible. It has been fantastic. Angela, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being on.
You know, thank you so much for having me, Jen. Have an awesome day.